So good morning. So let's begin. Today's daf is daf lamed. We are picking up on daf lamed. First line, hanicha. Supposedly, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So remember, we left off yesterday with a machlokis between Shimon HaTimoni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya about under what circumstances does the obligation to pay the knas, does the obligation to pay the penalty payment if a man violates a woman apply? So Shimon HaTimoni said that the only time you're obligated to go ahead and pay the penalty payment is be'isha shiesh bahavia, is if it's a woman you could marry. And Rabbi Shimon Menasya said that the only time you have to pay the penalty payment is if it's a woman not only who you can marry, but it's a sustainable marriage. So the Gemara was trying to go ahead and try to figure out the nafkamina. It sounds so similar. We must try to figure out the nafkamina, the practical difference between these two shitos. So the way we left off yesterday is we had Rabbi Simai who explained that according to Rabbi Akiva, now the reason the Gemara was dealing with the shita of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva has the most stringent shita when it comes to forbidden marriages, because Rabbi Akiva said every forbidden union produces a mamzer with one interesting exception of almana l'kohen gadol. So apparently, so the Gemara wanted to suggest that according to Rabbi Simai, the nafkamina case would be an almana to a kohen gadol. Shimon HaTimoni would say that such a marriage works, that if a kohen gadol violated an almana, he'd be obligated to pay the penalty payment, whereas Shimon ben Menasya would say that because this is not a sustainable marriage, he would not be obligated to go ahead and pay the penalty payment. Comes along Rabbi Yeshavev, and Rabbi Yeshavev said no. Even Rabbi Akiva even holds that in a case of an almana to a kohen gadol, that still creates mamzerus, in which case, again, that would not be a permitted marriage. If that's the case, then what is the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimoni and Shimon Menasya? To which Rabbi Yeshavev responded, Mitzri ve'edomi, that it would be a case of where a man would violate a woman whom is prohibited to him through an asse, a positive commandment, not through a lav. And therefore, again, in such a situation, according to Shimon HaTimoni, so technically speaking, a marriage could work in such a situation. And therefore, if a man violated, like we said yesterday, a second-generation Mitzri convert, so he'd be chayiv to pay the penalty payment. Whereas, according to Shimon Menasya, this is still not called a sustainable marriage, and therefore, again, you would not be obligated to pay the penalty payment. Fine. Says the Gemara, top of Lamed, Hanichal Rabbi Yeshavev. So this makes sense. This whole discussion makes sense, according to Rabbi Yeshavev. So if Rabbi Yeshavev is simply coming to go ahead and find a case that would work, both according to him and Rabbi Simai, then fine. However, but if he's just coming to advance his own opinion, see, what's interesting is the following. The way the Gemara is set up is that Rabbi Yeshavev seems to be responding to Rabbi Simai. So the Gemara is just wondering over here, if that's all Rabbi Yeshavev is doing, then the case that he set up of, let's say, the Mitzri Ve'edomi works fine. However, but if Rabbi Yeshavev is simply discussing his own opinion, and his opinion is, Kol She'in Lo Bia B'Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer, Va'afilu Chayve Asay. So we'll say, remember, what's interesting is the following. So if you understand that Rabbi Yeshavev is responding ultimately to Rabbi Simai, then the case of the Mitzri Ve'edomi could be a case that could potentially work to both of them. But if Rabbi Yeshavev is just coming to advance his own opinion, meaning if he's discussing his own shita, Rabbi Yeshavev's own shita is that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Yeshavev's shita and Rabbi Akiva, any forbidden union produces a mamzer. And any forbidden union would even include what? Would even include Chai Ve'aseh, would even include Mitzri Adomi. If that's the case, according to Rabbi Yeshavev himself, my Benayu, what would be the practical difference between these two shitos of Shimon HaTimoni and, or Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya? Well, see, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Hanicha, Rabbi Yeshavev, Hai Kol In She'in Lo Heter, Bia Dika Amar Libud Rabbi Akiva, Lav Klala Kail, So the Gemara says, "My benayu." So both say, "So according to Rabbi Yeshavev, then by himself, what would be the nafkamina between the shitos of Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon Menasya?" To which the Gemara says, "I'll tell you, Ike benayu, beula lekohen gadol." The nafkamina case would be if a kohen gadol violates a woman who is not a basula. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Bula kohen gadol she'in ba lav da almanos v'gerusha." Now, this is talking about a woman who's not an almana or a grusha, but rather she just had relations with another man. So remember, a kohen gadol is not permitted. Kohen gadol is only permitted to marry a basula. So let's say kohen gadol goes ahead and violates a baula who's not a grusha and she's not divorced and she's not a widow. So remember, what he's essentially violated is an aseh. If he were to marry this woman, he would violate an aseh. Therefore, Rabbi Shaviv is suggesting like this. So look at Rashi. Baula kohen gadol she'in balav da'amonos v'gerishin. Ella asay the besuli yikach. There is no prohibition in this, in that she's not an amana, she's not a grusha, but rather he's in violation of a positive commandment that tells him that he's supposed to marry a besula. Velo baula ve'im tomar yesh kan lav dezona. So okay, Rashi goes on to a different topic which we don't have to get into now. So we'll say, so Rabbi Shaviv is now suggesting that Lamai said this would be the nafkamina case, that apparently according to Shimon at Timni, who says that you only have to pay the fine for a woman whom you could technically marry. So technically the Kohen Gadol could marry, meaning, let me say differently, the Kohen Gadol could affect marriage with a ba'ula, with a woman who's not a basula. Why could he affect marriage with this woman? Because it is not a lav, it's not a prohibition, but rather it's the violation of an aseh. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Menasseh would say he would not be obligated to pay the penalty payment in such a situation. Why? Because it is not a sustainable marriage, because it is still prohibited through an aseh. So the Gemara says, Umayishna. But why is this case? I mean, why is this case any better than the Mitzri and Edomi case? Meaning, we've already floated the idea of a chai ve'aseh as an afkamina case, and we rejected it. Why is this case any better? To which the Gemara says, the havi le'aseh she'eno shave bakol. The Bo says, actually very interesting, because in this case, this is different, because this is an aseh that does not apply equally to everyone. What does that mean? So the Bo says, interestingly enough, the restriction on a Mitzri or on an Edomi until three generations applies equally to every Jewish person. Right, that's the same for every Jewish person. The difference over here is that the assay that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula is not Sheva Bakol, does not apply to everyone. And therefore, because it does not apply to everyone, perhaps, again, it can be treated a little bit more leniently. Okay, so I'll say, so this is where this discussion between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon Menasseh ends. So we are still left with their machlokes. Now, and ultimately, again, we're left with the we have different opinions as to what the nafkamina would be between Rabbi Yeshavev and Rabbi Simoy. Fine. So now the Gemara goes weiter. Amrav Chista, Hakomol Dimba Alanida Shemeshalim Knas. Everyone agrees that if a man violates a nida, that he has to pay the penalty payment. The Rabbi said, now, of course, the novelty over there is that, remember, if a man has relations with a woman who is a nida, that is a penalty of karis. It's a penalty of karis. See, even though there's a penalty of karis, Rav Chista suggesting that everyone agrees that you're going to have to pay the knas. So the Gemara says, Laman da amar yesh ba'aviya. So the Gemara now is still lining this back up with the previous machlokes. According to the Man Damar, i.e. Shimon HaTimni, who says that the only time you have to pay the knas is in a situation where it's a woman whom you could technically marry, then what? Hanami yesh bahavia. Truth is, you can marry a woman who's a nida. I've also noticed an interesting discussion. We'll actually get to it. There's a fascinating discussion about chupas nida, about when a woman is a nida, can you actually affect marriage or not? So there's a big discussion because, according to some, in order for marriage to work, it has to be a chupa haru'uya labia. That bia has to be able to occur. Lav dafka bia has to occur, but bia has to be able to occur. If she's a nida, obviously bia can't occur. So it's interesting. So the Gemara over here is going with the assumption that you can marry a woman, you could affect kiddushin nisuin with a woman who's a nida. Therefore, again, it would satisfy the criteria of Shimon HaTimni. And therefore, if a man were to violate a nida, he will be obligated to pay the penalty payment. Similarly, according to the Mandam, who says that in order to be obligated in the penalty payment, it has to be a sustainable marriage. Hanami ru'uya lakaima. And then even though she's a nida, and therefore bia is not possible, it is still a sustainable marriage. And therefore, ultimately, again, according to both Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, if you were to violate a woman who is a nida, you would be chayiv to pay the penalty. The truth is, the only one who disagrees with this is Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, mas nisin de mechayev tashlum le baal achoso, v'afa pi shemeschayev karis bebi aso, Mafka mid Rabbi Nechunya. Now I will say, now obviously this goes back to the statement of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah already mentioned this, that if a man violates his sister, or a man violates a nida, or remember again, the Mishnah gave the whole list of arayos, that you are chayiv for the penalty payment. Now remember again, we touched on the discussion of kimle bidrabimine, which means that when you engage in an act that creates two forms of liability, one in the form of death, one in the form of monetary liability, generally we say that the death sentence kind of negates any monetary obligations that you have. That's like kimle literally means establish him bidiraba mine, with the more stringent punishment. Now the novelty that the Mishnah was teaching us is that that only applies when the death sentence is going to be administered at the hands of a court. But if it's a death sentence at the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu like Karis, then you will still be obligated to go ahead and pay the penalty. So the Gemara says that this statement, that if a man violates a nida, he is chayiv to pay the penalty payment, this stands in contradistinction to the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Why? Disanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, haya oses yom kippurim kishabbos letashlumin. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana used to, he would treat Yom Kippur like Shabbos for compensation purposes. Now, Bosa, remember again, if a person violates Yom Kippur, so what's the penalty? Penalty is Karis. Person does malach on Yom Kippur, person eats on Yom Kippur. Intentionally, this is. The punishment is Karis. Person violates Shabbos intentionally. What's the punishment? Skila, literally stoning, death at the hands of a court. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana equated the obligation to pay on Yom Kippur and on Shabbos. What does that mean? Ma Shabbos, mischayv b'nafsho, pater min hatashlumin. Just like on Shabbos, so we'll say, for example, if we take a look at Rashi says over here, Esyom kippurim kishabbos. You see that? Rashi says, "Liftor as hamadli kagadosh b'yom kippurim kilo hidliko b'shabbos." So the classic case the Gemara gives is if I go ahead and I light my friend's field on fire on Shabbos. Light my friend's field on fire on Shabbos. See me after shiur. So I light my friend's field on fire on Shabbos. So what happens? See, here I have a simultaneous liability. On one hand, I've damaged property. On the other hand, I've violated Shabbos. So the halacha is, ma Shabbos mischai b'nasho patu minat tashlumin. So because now I'm liable to a death penalty, I'm exempt from any compensation. Kimlin bidrabi minei. Af Yom Kippurim mischayiv b'nafsho patur minat tashlumin. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana holds that if on Yom Kippur I burn down my friend's field, even though again the death penalty over here is kares, I'm exempt from compensating my friend because I have the death penalty hanging over me. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana treats kares. So essentially, the Gemara saying is like this: when it comes to matters of kimle b'drabimine, of establishing someone on with the more stringent punishment, everyone else normally assumes that only applies to a death sentence administered by Beis Din. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana holds it even applies to Karis. So the Gemara says, "My time to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana." What is Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's logic? Meaning, what's the logic behind his position? Amar Abayis like this. So we'll say this is Abayis' interpretation of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's halachic position. Ne'emar ason bide adam. It says ason. I will say ason literally means a tragedy, right, or a loss. Now the pasuk that he's referring to over here is the pasuk in Mishpatim. So the Torah says the following: V'chi yinatzu anashim. I'm just quoting to the pasuk. Mar doesn't quote it in totality. V'chi yinatzu anashim v'ndagfu ishahara v'yatzu yiladal. So we'll say. So the Torah says that if two people are fighting and they push, one of them shoves a pregnant woman, v'yatzu yiladal, she miscarries. As a result of the push, velo yihya ason. So we'll say. So the way the Gemara is interpreting now, velo yihya ason, many mefarshim understand to mean, but the woman didn't die. The woman is okay. So the way the Gemara is interpreting it, velo yihya ason is a declarative statement. Because they did not kill the woman chas v'shalom, or because none of this was really intentional, lo yihya ason, the perpetrator is not put to death. The perpetrator is not put to death. Okay, that's ason bide adam. V'ne'emar ason bide shamayim, and it says loss or death at the hands, and that refers to bide shamayim, to hands of heaven. Now, what is that referring to? So I'll say this is back in Bereishis. So back in Bereishis, when Yehuda wants to take Binyamin down to Egypt, first of all, in order to free Shimon and in order to get additional food. So Yaakov Avinu says, "V'yomer lo yireid bini imachem." My son is not going with you. Ki achiv meis, because his brother Yosef died. Vahula v'adon ishar, he's left all alone. Ukira'ahu ason baderech. Right? And what's going to happen? An ason, some type of tragic loss is going to happen. So the Gemara understands that means bide shamayim. That means at the hands of heaven. Ma ason ha'amar bide adam potemina tashlumin. Just, so we'll say, what Abai essentially is saying is like this, is you find the same word to describe misa bide adam, death at the hands of a court, and misa bide shayim, same exact word, ason. Therefore, why would the Torah use the same word to describe both of these types of death, if not to link those experiences? What's the linkage? Ma ason ha'amra bide adam potu minatash lumen. Just like if someone is killed by Beis Din, they are exempt for tashlumen, they are exempt for compensating for the damage they've done. Af ason ha'omer bidei shamayim patem min hatashlumin. So too it teaches you that what? That if you do an act that makes you liable to death at the hands of heaven, you are exempt from repaying anyone. So fine, that's a biased position. Maskif l'Rav Adabar Ava mimai. Dechi kamas here lehu Yaakov libnei. Al sinim upachem dibidei shamayim ninhu. Dilma al arye veganvi dibide adam ninhu. The Rabbah say Abai's whole argument is predicated on the idea that the ason mentioned in Bereishis, the ason mentioned in Shmos when they shoved the pregnant woman, that's clear that it's referring to misi bide adam. That we know. That's referring to death at the hands of a court. I understand that. But Abai's whole argument is that the ason in Bereishis, when Yaakovinu says ason, that's bide shamayim. That's at the hands of heaven. So the Gemara says, how do you know that when Yaakovinu spoke about that Binyamin might die, he was talking about bide shamayim. What's an example of bide shamayim? Tzinim upachim. The Rabbah said, tzinim upachim means, Rashi says, kar v'chom. Right, either dying of exceptional cold or dying of exceptional heat. So, which the Gemara is calling over here bidei shamayim. Dilma, perhaps Yaakov was warning his sons or was worried about aryeh veganvi, about lions and robbers, bidei adam ninu, meaning that are considered to be death at the hands of man. In other words, what the Gemara is asking over here is, how do you know that the ason in Bereishis is referring to misa bidei shamayim? Maybe it's referring to misa bidei adam. To which the Gemara says, atu Yaakov aha azhar, aha lo azhar. Do you think Yaakov was only worried about one type of death and not the other type of death? Yaakov, I'll call Mili Asar. Yaakov was saying to his sons that if I let Binyamin go with you, who knows what is going to happen? He can meet all kinds of deaths. So the idea over here is that in Achinami, the Ason in Bereishis does not only mean Misi B'dei Shemayim, it also means Misi B'dei Adam. But the idea over here is what? That the Ason means also Misa B'dei Shemayim. Meaning all I need is for Ason to also mean Misa B'dei Shemayim, even though it doesn't exclusively mean Misa B'dei Shemayim, and Abaye's argument is made. Because all Abaye needs to prove is that the same word is used for death at the hands of heaven and death at the hands of man. Once we establish that, then we can link the two experiences. So the fact that Yaakov Avinu's usage of Ason covers both Misa B'dei Adam and Misa B'dei Shemayim, that doesn't bother us. That doesn't bother me. That's absolutely fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, V'tzinim upachem b'dei shamayim ninu. Just move that coat, okay, guys. I think that's the last seat. Okay, somebody. So the Gemara says the following. V'tzinim upachem b'dei shamayim ninu. Now we're going to get into something very interesting here, which is that, is it true? Now the Gemara made a statement that an example of death at the hands of heaven is what? If you die of cold or you die of heat, right? If you go out with wet hair and you catch a cold, right? So that's called Misa Bidei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, really? Is that called Misa? Tzinim Upach Bidei Shamayim. Ninu V'atanya, but we learned, HaKol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven. Chutz Mitzinim Upachim. Listen to this. So everything is in the hands of heaven. unless, of course, you die from exposure. Right? Meaning, the idea over here is, if a person dies because they get too cold, or a person dies because they get too hot, the Gemara feels that those are things, climate issues, are things that a person could control, either with how they dress or where they are. Therefore, if you die because of heat, you die because of cold, that's not called bidei shemaim, that's called bidei adam. Shene'emar, sinim upachim bederech ikesh. She's quoting over here from the Pasuk in Mishlei. Sinim pachim bederech ikesh. Shomer nafsho yirchok mehem. Literally cold. Cold and heat, bederech ikesh, are in the path of the crooked. One who watches his soul will distance himself from them, indicating that a person has a level of control over certain climate issues within their life, whether or not they die of heat or they die of cold. So the Gemara says, Vesu, furthermore, Arye veganvi bidei adam ninu, is death at the hands of ganovim, of thieves, or death at the hands of man, or death at the hands of a lion, is that called bidei adam? V'ha'amar av Yosef v'chintani rav Yosef. So actually, before we go on with this, I just want to say something interesting, just quickly. You know, Tosis, there's a Tosis there, it says, akol bidei shemaim chutz min sinim pachim. So Tosis points out at the end, it's interesting that there's another Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara in Brachos says, hakol bidei shemaim chutz miyira shemaim. So the Gemara says, everything is in the hands of heaven except for how pious you are. Literally, everything is in the hands of heaven except for your fear of heaven. God controls if you're short or if you're tall, if you're smart, if you're not smart, if you're rich, if you're poor. But at the end of the day, the one thing I control is my ruchnius, my spirituality. So Tosus wonders, how does this Gemara reconcile with that Gemara? Because this Gemara says everything is in the hands of heaven except sinim pachim, right? If I get too hot or too cold. So Tosus gives it such an interesting, if you look at the last lines of Tosus, this is in Tosus HaKol B'dei Shamayim, he says, V'hod Amar HaKol B'dei Shamayim Chutz Miyira Shamayim. There's no contradiction. You know why? The Hasam Kai Alavlad Bimoy Imo. She goes from Im Yehe Ani O Asher Gibo Achalosh Tibe Shachacham. About Tzadik Verashalo. That Gemara, when it says everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven, that's talking about the decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes about a child in utero. While the child is still in utero, God decides certain realities. Here is talking about after we've emerged from the womb and now we're going through life. Then we say, everything is in the hands of heaven because the other stuff has already been decided. If I'm going to be short, if I'm going to be tall. However, once I emerge from the womb, everything is in the hands of heaven except sinim upachim, literally the ability to safeguard my health on a daily basis. So the Gemara goes weiter. Is that to say that, so the Gemara said before that apparently an attack by thieves or attack by lions is called bidei adam, but we learned the Amar of Yosef v'chein tel Rebkiyam yom shechar beis hamikdash af api shabbat lusanhedrin. Arba misos lo batel. This is an amazing Gemara. Rav Yosef said, some said Rav Chia, from the day that Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, even though the Sanhedrin is batel, the Sanhedrin no longer exists. We'll say now what that means is, the Sanhedrin we know existed even after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What the Gemara means is the following, that after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the Sanhedrin no longer adjudicated capital cases. In order to adjudicate capital case, the Sanhedrin must be seated in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the Chamber of Hewn Stone in the Beis HaMikdash. Even if the Sanhedrin exists, but it's not sitting in Lishkas HaGozes, they cannot hand down death sentences. So the Gemara Sar Yosef, or Rav Chia said, since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though the Sanhedrin is batel, meaning the Sanhedrin can no longer hand down death penalties, arba misos lo batel, the arba misos bezin, the four types of death administered by Beis Din, are not batel. So the Gemara says, lo batlu, ha batlu, what do you mean they're not batel? Of course they're batel, meaning Beis Din is not administering any of these punishments. Ella, Rabosa, listen to this. It's quite interesting. Ella, din arba misos lo batlu. If we have time, by the way, I'll come back, I'll show you another interesting tosis in the Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, but we'll see if we have time. So the Gemara says, no, you're right, Beis Din does not hand down deaths and death sentences, but the din arba misos lo batlu, Rashi says, Onesh dugmasam, that there are other punishments that occur that take the place of misos bezin, or that are supposed to be misos bezin. For example, mishen is chayev skila. If somebody, God forbid, is obligated, is liable to skila, person violated Shabbos intentionally with edim and asura. O nofil min agag, he falls off a roof. O chaya darsaso, or or an animal, dorsasa literally means tears them apart. So we'll say, what does it have to do with skila? Because you know the way skila was actually administered was they would first push a person off a high elevation, and if the idea was to kill him as quickly as possible, and if he didn't die as a result of that, then they would stone him. Alternatively, also they would go out and they would place stones on top of his kever as well to show that he was killed by Beis Din. So again, contemporarily, if Beis Din doesn't administer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ways of administering misas Beis Din. Person falls off a roof, or a person is torn apart by an animal. That's skila. Mishen es chayev srefa. Someone who is chayiv sreifa. Rabbi says, remember, sreifa is the type of death where they would kill someone by pouring molten lead down their throat. Oh, nofel b'dleik, a person dies in a fire. Oh, nachash makisho, or a snake bites him. So the Gemara often compares the snake's venom to fire. So therefore, again, he dies like that. That's sreifa. Umishin is chayiv hariga, someone who is chayiv for something that he did that would carry the penalty of beheading. O nimsar lamalchus, either he's given over to the monarchy, o listim ba'in alav, or again he's attacked by robbers. Umishan es chayiv chenek, and someone who is liable to strangulation, o tovea bahar, or he drowns in the river, o meis besirchuni, or he dies with this sirunchi. Rashi says sirunchi is askira. So this is this type of disease where the airway would constrict and a person essentially would die from suffocation. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? So you see from here that Lamaisa, again, being attacked by the animal. So first of all, we pose the kasha on two levels. Because remember, the Gemara said two things. The Gemara said, number one, that sinim upachim is bide adam, and that aryeh enlistim, a lion or robbers, is bide shamayim. So the Gemara says over here, ela eifoch, rather you have to turn it around, aryeh vegandi bide shamayim, rather according to this price, you have to say that aryeh, and I'm sorry, I said that just the opposite, rather, what you have to say is being attacked by a lion and being attacked by robbers is considered to be misa bidei shamayim, but sinem upachim, but if a person dies because of cold or because of heat, that's bidei adam. That's ultimately considered to be death bidei adam. Okay, so Rava Amar, so remember again, just to keep your eye on the ball over here, this was a little bit of a tangent, but the Gemara is trying to figure out again the position of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, because Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana was the one who said that the laws of Kimle b'derabba minei ultimately apply even to a situation of kares. So far we had Abai's explanation, and Abai's explanation of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's position was the fact that he uses the lashon of ason by misa b'de adam and by misa b'de shamayim. Comes along Rava Amar Rava says, no, time with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana mehacha. No, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, his shita comes from here. What does the pasuk say? V'him ha'alim ya'alimu ama'aretz es einehem mina ishahu besito mizaro lemolach. So what says an interesting pasuk. So the Torah says like this, if you go ahead and you shield your eyes, literally you turn away from the ama'aretz, from the nations and the land who are giving, or mina ishahu, from this particular person who is giving over of his offspring to molach. So we'll say this is talking about in a situation where there's avodah zarah happening in your midst, and you turn a blind eye to it. So what's the halacha? V'samti ani espanai ba'ishahu u'b'mishpachto v'hechrati oso. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, essentially, if you don't take care of the problem, I will take care of the problem. I will go ahead and I will turn my attention to this man and to his family, and I will cut them off. It's also just very interesting, by the way. This not the topic for today, but you know, we live in a very different type of society of like a live and let live, which is good for greater general society. It's a good way, but you know, it desensitizes us a little bit within Judaism because we clearly do not believe in that idea. Meaning that when we see something egregious occurring, however one will define egregious, Torah always commands us to take action and to try to right or to remedy any wrongs that are actively happening within our midst. Just an interesting idea. So therefore, you see avodah zarah. So you know, it's almost like a person will be tempted to say, "You could do your thing; I'll do my thing." That's not ultimately, again, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't take care of the issue, I will take care of the issue. V'chrasi oso, Amra Torah. So we'll say, so now what's interesting over here, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in essence saying is the following, that if you don't go ahead if you don't go ahead and administer your misa to this person, because that is the penalty for worshipping Avodah Zarah, is misa bidei Adam. If you don't administer your misa, then I will go ahead and administer my misa. Amra Torah kares shali kamisa shalachem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, my kares is like your misa. Is like your misa, ma misa shalachem. And Abosai, so now what God has just done is he's linked the death that he administers to the death that we administer. If you don't administer your death penalty, I will administer my death penalty. So what does this linkage do for us? So this linkage teaches us, ma misa shalachem patim in atashlumin. So just like your misa, i.e. misa bidei adam, exempts the perpetrator from tashlumin. That also, remember, if someone's done an act that carries with it misas beizdin, as well as a liability to pay, so if you're going to be killed by beizdin, you are exempt from payment. Af karis sheli patur min atashlumin. So too, again, my karis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, meaning if somebody is liable to karis, he's also exempt from tashlumin. Okay, so what's I say? Here you have, so here's what's interesting. Remember, Rava and Abaye are not advancing their own shitos. They are discussing the shita of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Everyone agrees on what the shita of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is, namely, that even if you are liable to karis, you still, that if you are liable to karis, karis is the same. Misa bidei shamayim is the same as misa bidei adam. Just like if you perpetrated an act that carries a death sentence, and as well as an obligation for compensation, the death sentence kind of overrides the obligation for compensation. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says that same dynamic applies to karis as well. Machlokas Abayi in Rava just simply seems to be as to the source of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana's position. According to Abaye, Gezir Shavav Ason Ason. According to Rava, the linkage of Misa B'di Yishraim, Misa B'di Adam in the case of Avodah Zarah. So is there a practical difference between Rava and Abaye? I'll tell you what the practical difference is. Ikabenayu, Zar Sha'achal Truma. So we'll say the interesting Nafkamina case would be a Zar, a non-Kohen, who ate Truma. Why? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Zar Sha'achal Truma. Bemezid. If a non-Kohen eats truma bemezid, what's that lacha? Hu b'misa b'dei shemayim v'lo b'karis. Now we're going to introduce a new term. These are terms we often use interchangeably. Misa b'dei shemayim, death at the hands of heaven, and karis are really two different things. Karis, chas v'sholom, affects or impacts not only the individual, but impacts their children as well. The misa of karis means that, God forbid, a person's children predecease him, and then a person dies. So karis impacts the family. Misa b'dei shemayim, technical death at the hands of heaven, is a liability on the individual perpetrator without additional impact on the family. So if a non-kohen eats truma, then technically speaking, the liability is not what we call kares, but rather the liability is what we call misa b'dei shemayim, death at the hands of heaven. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, La Abaye Potter. So according to Abaye, you'd be Potter. Rashi says, Mimi Mitashlumin. Rashi is from paying. Why? So we'll say, according to Abaye, who learned at the position of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana from Ason, so Ason covers all types of death. All types of death. And therefore, Lamaisa, again, even if a person, a Zar, eats Truma b'mezid, so his obligation, he now has a twofold obligation, Misa b'dei shamayim, and Tashlumin, and repayment. Misa b'dei shamayim will set aside the obligation for repayment. On the other hand, Ulurava, Chayiv. According to Rava, you'll be Chayiv. Why? According to Rav Rabosai, because again, remember, the pasuk that Rav is referring to by Avodah Zarah is only talking about Karis and not talking about Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the only time that God compares his punishment to Misa B'dei Adam is in a case of Karis. But in a case of Misa B'dei Shemayim, you will not only be put to death at the hands of heaven, but what? You also have to pay for the truma that was consumed. Ula Abaye Potter. Now we get into a very interesting discussion. According to Abaye, would you really be Potter in such a situation like this? Meaning, Abosai, in this case of a Zar who ate Truma, would you really be Potter for repayment in such a case? So the Gemara says, Vam Rav Chista, Modu Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana agrees or admits in the following case. Listen to this. Begonev Chelbo Shel Chavero. I steal my friend's chalev. Chalev, remember, is forbidden fat. Now, what's the halacha when it comes to chalev? If you eat forbidden fats, eating forbidden fats is a chiyuv karis. It's a chiyuv karis. So Rabbi Nechon Yemen HaKon agrees in the following case. I steal the forbidden fats of my friend. Va'achlo, and I ate them. Shu chayiv. The Rabbo said that I'm chayiv. Chayiv for what? Now, the fact that I'm chayiv karis, that's obvious. I'm chayiv even to repay. What's the logic over here? Shekvarnes chayiv b'gneva kodem sheba lidei iser chilin. Rabbo said, listen to this. This is very interesting. When do we say kimle b'derabamine? Right? When do we say that if you have two punishments, you only get the more severe one, and the secondary one is set aside? When? When there's simultaneity. When essentially the two liabilities devolve upon me at the same time. But if the two liabilities are staggered, then I'm chayiv for both. So for example, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says like this, I steal a piece of chalev from my friend and then I eat it. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says, I'm chayiv twice. I'm chayiv for both. Why? Because the act of theft, well, actually, you see in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shu chayiv shekvar nischayiv b'gneva kodem shebal lidei iser chalev. So the Gemara says, Alma, d'me'idna, because literally I've become liable for the theft before the kares for chalev consumption. Why? Alma, d'me'idna da'agbe kanye. Because remember, as soon as I lift up the chalev, both say, remember, when are you violation of theft? As soon as you lift up an item with the intention to go ahead and take it for your own. So when I lift up the chalev, my friend's chalev, I am chaye for theft. At that moment, that generates a financial liability. On the other hand, mischayev b'nafsha lohava ad ochile. But again, when do I become chayev kares for eating chalev? Not until when? Not until when? Until I eat it. So therefore, again, the two liabilities are not generated at the same time. Therefore, I will be chayev twice. So why don't you say the same thing over here in the case of the zar of the non-kohen who ate truma? Hachanami, so too over here. Be'idna da'agbe kanye. So too, again, in the case of the non-kohen who ate truma, at the time that he lifted up the truma, that's when he's chayev for theft. And that's when there should be a financial liability. However, mischayev b'nafsha lo havi ad da'achilei. But yet what? Thank you. But yet what? I am not liable for the death sentence until when? Until I actually eat it. So if that's the case, then lemaisa again, I should be chayiv twice. Because mostly remember, all the Gemara is saying over here is what we've established is when there is no what we'll call liability simultaneity. Like that one? Good. Yeah. Attorneys? Good. No?
Sure, why not?
All right. Fine. Right. So when there's no simultaneous liability. Good. When there's no simultaneous liability, so then I'm chayif twice. If that's the case, then what? Then lemaisa. In the case of the zar sha'achal truma, in the case of the nakuin who ate truma, I don't understand why I'm exempt for financial liability. I'm chayif for the financial piece as soon as I take it, right? And I'm not chayif for death until I eat it. Therefore, because there is no simultaneous liability, I should be chayif twice. To which the Gemara says, so listen to what the Gemara says, interesting. So we'll say, now the Gemara has to try to come up with a case where there is a simultaneous liability. So how come I ask, and what's the case? So what's the case? The case is where someone came along and put the truma in my mouth. So because they put the truma in my mouth, then what happened? Everything essentially is occurring at the same time. I did not, now remember, again, the someone putting the truma in my mouth, Rabbi Sai, is not who? Is not the Kohen, right? This is, meaning someone else picked up the truma and put it in my mouth. So therefore, again, everything is occurring at the same time. Everything is occurring at the same time. To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, Shetach lo chavero, delo agba velo kanya. I never lifted up the truma, and therefore I never acquired it. Velo mischayiv b'tashlum, and ela b'bliyosu mischayiv, d'mi hani yasmeyav, velo d'me kula, u'bahi shay t'chiyiv misen amika. So Rashi just points out over here that in this type of situation also, you won't even be chayiv for the entire amount of the truma, which we're not going to get into right now, only the amount of benefit you get. But we're going to sidestep that point for now. So the Gemara says, therefore, I'm going to find the case with this simultaneity where my friend put the truma in my mouth. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Sof, kivon deliisa kanye, mischayev benafsho, lohavi adabala. Still, there's no simultaneous liability. You know why? Interestingly enough, if somebody put the truma in my mouth, so when do I acquire the truma? When do I acquire the truma? Interestingly enough, as soon as I begin to chew it. But when does liability for truma consumption actually occur? only when I swallow it. So I still don't have simultaneous liability. To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you the case, kigon, shetachav lo lesoch beisablia. Not only did he put it in my mouth, but what did he do? He literally shoved it down my throat. So in that case over there, what happens? He puts in the beis avia, he puts it down my throat. In that case, I will say, then what could I say? I can see that the moment I quote unquote acquire it, and the moment that I am liable for truma consumption do occur simultaneously.
There can be a kinyan if there is no intent.
No, the assumption over here is that I'm okay with it. That I'm okay with it. So the Gemara says, hey chidami. And the truth is that's kind of what the Gemara says over here. Idamati la adura nehadur. So what's the case over here? Meaning, Yanki, this is going to essentially asking your question. If you could spit it back up, so to speak, then spit it back up. Ilo matzi ladura, and if I can't spit it back up, am I chay? Meaning, if I could spit it back up and I don't spit it back up, that means I'm okay with this. And therefore, okay, then of course I'm liable. If I can't spit it back up, right, meaning if it's too far down, then you know, what am I supposed to do exactly? So the Gemara says, am I chayiv? So which the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha de matzi laduri ayde adchak. What's the case? The case over here is where you can go ahead and spit it back up, but again, it's idea adchak. It's ultimately, again, with difficulty. Look at Rashi. Idea adchak. Di'inam yahadra memasa. Velochazi labailim. Because again, even if you were to spit it back up, at this point in time, the truma would be rendered repulsive and would not be fit for use by its owners. Hilchach. Migzal lo gazla. If that's the case at this point in time, even if I were to spit it back up, it would be repulsive to the owners. Therefore asks Rashi, why would I be chayv for gzela at all? To which the Gemara says, so I'll say, what Rashi just pointing out over here is that the financial liability would not even be for the full original value of the truma, because the value of the truma has already been compromised once someone else puts it in my mouth. Nevertheless, there is some level of financial liability incurred, namely the amount of benefit that I got, either from swallowing it or from eating it. But Lamaisi, the emerger, is trying to point out that here would be a case where ultimately you could establish this simultaneity. So the Gemara says, let's just do one last case. Rapapa says, Kigon shatachav lo chavero mashkin shal truma lo soch piv. So we'll say an easier case would be, is instead of dealing with solids, where we go ahead, my friend put liquid truma, right? Truma wine in my mouth. Rash is mashkin shal truma, velo tidchaka lishanuye bebeis ablia. Therefore, you don't have to establish this in a more extreme case of shoving anything down someone's throat. El mekevon shetach v'lesoch piv im asala, velo matzis lichiyuvim yishum gzela, tohalo chazi lamidi ela anias krono umeyav mischayv misav v'tashlum baim kechar. So we'll say a simpler case would be, someone puts truma wine in my mouth. Once someone puts truma wine in my mouth, then again, to spit it back out is not really going to do all that. Meaning, again, the act has been done already. The act of acquiring it, as well as ultimately, again, the act of benefiting from it, comes all at once. Remember, all we're looking for over here is simultaneity. One last example of Ashi Amar Bizar Sha'ach L'Trumo Shalo V'Karash Shira'in Shal Chavera. Now, we'll say, now this we're going to end with, because this is a very interesting case. Remember, we'll say, just keep your eye on the ball. All we're trying to figure out over here is how you can have the case. The Gemara said that a zar sha'achal truma, not calling you a truma, is killing bidrava mine. He is not chayef for the financial, for financial compensation to the coin, because he gets a death penalty. The Gemara is just trying to figure out a case, because under normal circumstances, those two liabilities would not be generated simultaneously. And whenever there is no simultaneous liability, you're normally chayef for both. The Gemara is just trying to find a case in which there is simultaneous liability. The best case the Gemara seems to like at the end of the day is the case of mashkin, the case of liquids. But if Ashi comes along and advances one more case, what are we talking about? I'll give you a case of simultaneity. Listen to this, and this is amazing. It's a case of a zar, a non-kohen who's eating truma, and at the same time that he's eating truma, he's tearing the silk clothing of his friend. This guy's having a bad day. So listen to this. So what Rav Ashi is saying over here is all of you are looking for simultaneity within the same object or within the same person. Who says that that has to be the simultaneity? Rav Ashi advances a very novel sheet, and namely that Lamaisa, simultaneity could happen even with two different acts. So I'm literally eating truma, and as I'm eating truma, truma, I am causing someone else financial damage. Rav Ashi's novel approach is he's saying that's also called kimlin b'derav amine. In a case like that, Rav Ashi would say, since you're liable to death, you would be exempted from any financial compensation. Look at the top Rashi on Lamed Aleph, and with this we'll stop. B'sha'a shebol'a v'afagav demisa la mishumamona denizak asila miftar usvilei Rav Ashi misa lezat shum lezepatir. Now this is an incredible chiddush that we're going to spend more time on, because according to Rav Ashi, we always understand that kimlin b'derav amine always means what? Two liabilities generated from the same act. And then intuitively, what the halacha says is, look, you can't be liable twice for the same act. We make you liable for the more severe liability, which is normally death. Rav Ashi comes along and says, no, even if you're doing two different acts simultaneously, with two different parties, we still call that kimlei b'derav amine, and you will only get the more severe of the two punishments. So if I'm eating Reuven's truma and I'm tearing Shimon's silk clothing, I'll only be liable for the truma consumption and will be exempt for the financial damage. So I will say, we're not finished with this. Well, Mr. Shem, pick up with this tomorrow. Again, just a reminder, so tomorrow morning also, Mr. Shem Purim, we start 5:45.